there are any, let me welcome you and declare the meeting open. And immediately ask for, which we did not do yesterday, adoption of the program or agenda. Can I get an indication that the agenda is in front of you? But let's, you don't have it. Oh, then somebody is not doing his work. See, there's somebody who is absent, who usually does that work. Immediately after seeing it, then I'll see with their hand if you want to propose adoption. Yes, Honorable.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairperson. I'd like to move for the adoption of the agenda. Thank you.
At least we have a proper record now. The program is adopted. Apologies, if there are any formal apologies. It looks like there's none. As part of welcoming San Parks, Honorable Chairperson, I don't know in the board if you call yourself Honorable, but so let me welcome you and your delegation and indicate that our task is more to do with being representatives of the people of South Africa. So whatever questions that we ask, you must know that it's something that comes from the people, from the different areas where we come from, different experiences. That is what enriches South Africa. Actions. We are not the executive. So that's what we'll be doing here. Because we are sources of law, then we also have got keen interest to see that the laws of the country are being implemented. We take exception when people, I used a term yesterday, deliberately breaks laws of the country. We are custodians of such. We are not implementing, but we oversight and make sure that that is done. Both being public representatives equally involves allowing people to participate in issues of government. So that's what we are about here. So we ask questions. And when I say we ask questions, we expect answers, but equally, I think in the course of asking such questions, we expect change. So that's it. So today we'll be focusing on the annual report in terms of what the law prescribes and your statement, financial statement, after you have received the audit outcomes. We have also been briefed on that. So that's the assignment for today. Without further ado, I would ask the chairperson of the board to give us an overview about Sun Parks, as you are in charge there. Over to you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and good morning. Good morning, Honourable members. I think some of us have met before. I'm Joanne Yauch. I'm the chairperson of the Sand Parks Board. I'm joined by the CEO, the CFO, and the head of strategy, who will all go at various points into the detail of the presentation that has been circulated. I think, Honourable Chair, by way of introduction, there are four issues that I'd like to deal with. At the end of the presentation, there is an overall summary that indicates that 74%, so nearly three quarters of the targets set for the organisation in the APP were met, that 9% of those were partially achieved, and that 17% were not met. What I'd like to do is to talk to three of the big issues, external issues affecting the organisation that really relate to the red triangle and to the issues that weren't met. And then I'd like to address one issue out of the audit report and the financial statements. So I think that when we look at Sandparks, it is a complex organization. It operates in 21 sites around the country. Most of them are in rural areas in some of the poorest parts of the country. In addition, there are over 4,000 staff that work for the organization, as well as a considerable number of people who do work in the organization through the Expanded Public Works Program. A number of our parks cross borders. A number of the parks, such as the Table Mountain National Park, are in urban areas and are open access, and all of that makes for a very complex organization to run. So I think that there are three key issues that we really battle with, over which we don't have complete control. I think the first is that there is an existing and an increasing risk to the organization from the effects of climate change. And so if you look at the targets and the failure to meet targets, a number of them in the presentation relate to issues, weather-related issues that are completely outside of our control. In particular, the fact that we are struggling with the rising temperatures and the consequences of rising temperatures in quite a number of our parks. So, for example, in the period under review, there were fires, runaway fires in the Nyasna area that had not only led to tragic loss of life, but also meant that quite a lot of the deliverables that we promised could not actually be achieved. In the Kruger Park in the far north of our country and in Mapungubwe, areas like Mapungubwe where you had temperatures getting close to 40 degrees, that meant, for example, our targets in relation to energy efficiency, in relation to water saving, couldn't be met because it was just simply too hot. And we used more of what are precious resources. So climate change, and then there's a whole set of other consequences in relation to the habitat, in relation to the fauna and flora. So I think we'd like to flag those natural environment issues outside of our control, many of them climate-related, as very significant risks for Sandparks. And it's something which we are focusing on and will focus on more going into to the future. I think the second key issue that we really are struggling with is the issue related to the state of the economy. And you will see that there was a decline in visitor numbers and therefore a decline in revenues. And for Sandparks, that is particularly serious because 80% of the organization's revenues are generated through the monies that accrue from the tourism industry. And in the year that we're reviewing, nationally, there was a significant decline in tourism numbers, a 10% decline across the country in tourism numbers, and Sandparks has been no exception. Particularly serious for us is the fact that we are still very reliant on domestic tourism, and the issues around visas, etc., have meant that it's been quite difficult to substitute domestic tourism with international tourism. So I think there, and also things like rising petrol prices have a very big impact on the willingness of South Africans to travel. So I think that the issues around the economy, in the same way as they've affected all economic sectors, have affected us as a tourism provider. I think the third issue that relates to some of the targets that have been missed are the issues around crime, in particular wildlife crime. Sandparks is spending, and the CFO will talk to it, an increasing proportion of its budget. It's not only on the fight against rhino poaching, it's on the fight against poaching in general. Elephants have been poached. We have an increasing problem in some park of snaring, so people coming into the park and trying to trap animals. And while we work with the criminal justice system, in our view, there's a long way to go. We need to be much better resourced. We are up against some incredibly sophisticated international syndicates that are driving this poaching problem in the country, and we are doing our best. We are also we need to pay tribute to our rangers who came into the organization as conservationists and who often end up, in fact, performing the task of armed soldiers. And so I think it is something that we really are grappling with. And I'm also hoping that we will have an opportunity at some point to invite members of parliament to have a look at what the reality is on the ground in relation to, in particular, the battle that we are waging against poaching. So I thought it was worthwhile to just highlight those as issues where it's not just we didn't meet a target, but it raises very big issues for the organization around that we need to develop strategies and ways to move forward on. I think the last thing that I want to talk about in the financial, in relation to the audit outcome and the financial statements, is on the issue of irregular expenditure. And I want to talk to it from the perspective of the accounting authority which I head. And just to say that we note the extent of the irregular expenditure. The CFO will talk to it in much more detail. But in fact, the audit outcome and the fact of the proactive disclosure of Sandparks in this year, because we disclosed all of the irregular expenditure that we could find before the audit began, is very much the outcome of a three-year process in the accounting authority and in particular in its audit and risk committee, where we have tried over a period of time to work with management to ensure that we firstly identify irregular expenditure, much of which goes back years and years and years, but also that we disclose it and that we put in place a process to bring that down significantly, but also to ensure that our staff are very clear on what is needed in order to prevent it. So I thought it would be worthwhile because it's been a significant concern of the accounting authority over a period of years. Thank you, Chair. I think that is by way of introduction, and unless there are any questions, I'd like to hand over then to the CEO and his team to take you through the presentation.
very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, good morning. It is the first time I'm appearing before this committee. I missed last time as I was traveling. Apologies once again for that. Members, you'll notice that you might be hearing some of the things for the second time, because last month we were here to present the fourth quarter, which is the last quarter of the year. Therefore, you might see some of the information is the same, only the information where is cumulative in nature, that will see some slight changes. Yes, Chair, we came up with very ambitious targets because we believe our national parks are more than just wildlife, are catalysts for economic development because they are situated in rural landscapes of the country. Our mandate is derived from the legislation with the Protected Areas Act. The mandate is loaded, honorable members, because it's about conserving, protecting, controlling, and managing these national parks and other defined areas to be under our control. We are Schedule 3A public entity, therefore we need to comply with PFMA and also the board is accounting authority. The vision is to manage this system of national parks connecting society, but you'll see moving forward, because we were reporting last year, we have revised with the board the vision. When we come here next time doing our APP, you'll see a revised vision. Even the mission will be also some additions there in order to align ourselves with the program of government. In the mission, we need to develop these parks, manage them, promote them, so that we can achieve a representative biodiversity and heritage asset. We must do this thing through innovation, through research, and best practice for the just and equitable benefit of the current and future generations. The next slide, Chair, is an honorable member. I don't know what's wrong with the screen there. If one had to be given 5 minutes to say, present this organization, one will talk to this slide. As you can see in the top, in your text, you'll see that we have four goals, the outcomes we want. One outcome is to sustain these assets conservation. We want to also achieve responsible and diverse tourism. We also want to look at issues of socio-economic transformation in a radical way. And goal four, we must manage the resources correctly through good governance. Below that, you'll see how, what do you do in order to achieve that? That's the pink area. This is why we've come with some strategic objectives to achieve the outcome we want. Below that is about managing resources, good governance, infrastructure, both human and other forms of infrastructure, in order to achieve financial sustainability of the organization. I must say, honorable members and chair, that although the mandate is conservation, tourism is in our engine to grow revenue of the organization, to create jobs. As a result, 80% of our budget, operational budget, is self-generated through tourism activities. That's why the chair of the board was highlighting economic issues around issues of numbers in tourism. Therefore, tourism is the engine. That's how we want to sustain the organization. Chair, there's a lot of green areas here. I'm not sure if I must go to them in detail or must I put emphasis more on the yellows and the red areas. But Chair, the first one was to grow the estate. We need to expand this system of national parks. Each year we do develop a plan that is submitted to the department and to the board to expand. Our target for 2018-19 was to add 2,395 hectares of land in the system, but we managed to overachieve that by achieving 5,350 hectares of land. I must say, honorable members, we are opportunistic sometimes because land becomes available, identify the land, which is suitable for conservation, we do go for that. That's why there were additional two portions of land to the estate, hence such an achievement. We are also managing the marine environment, not only the land. Therefore, in the last year, there was a process of establishing marine protected areas. We participated in that process because we are the potential management authority. We work with the Pakisa people in order to make sure that the MPAs are proclaimed. As we speak, I think the government proclaimed more than 20 MPAs to add in the marine protected areas of the country. We are also being measured on how we manage our parks. We did say that we want to see 77% of our parks assessed, achieving a score of 67%. We're happy to say 84% of those did achieve such a score. We're also dealing with the issues of area integrity. I'm referring here to the issues of security in our parks, because besides dealing with wildlife and tourism, there's crime happening, not only wildlife crime. Like here in the Table Mountain, there's some mugging of tourists. We need to deal with those issues. Even at the parks, we need to make sure that people are safe when they visit our parks. Therefore, we look at the issue of area integrity to make sure that we give ourselves a score. You can see that for other parks except Kruger, we achieved 2.9, a score of 1 to 5. For Kruger, some of the regions, we achieved 3.5%. In terms of biodiversity, we need to measure ourselves that, yes, these areas, in terms of ecosystems and the environment, is well looked after. Last week, the minister launched the National Biodiversity Assessment that was done by SANBI. Therefore, we are measured on that to say, are we managing our ecosystems? Are we managing our rivers correctly? That's why we implement the state of biodiversity in our parks. We also looked at the issue of fossil fuel consumption, which was a new area for us to say, as a responsible institution, we need to look at this of fuel consumption. We need to do some readiness for ourselves, for some of the parks, to determine a baseline. We are happy to say some of the parks are ready on the audit. Some of the parks, the baseline has been determined, and we are seeing a reduction in the consumption on those parks where we have already established a baseline. Kruger National Park has been on this park for a while. We gave them a 2% reduction on the baseline. We saw some improvement because of the new solar farms in the park. There's one in Skukuza, there's one in Lower Sabi, where we want to go the green energy route. In terms of water, we also ready for some parks to say, are we wasting water or not? In the parks, we managed to determine some baselines, and we've seen a reduction in the past years. But for Kruger, it was the opposite. Because of the heat, high temperatures, low rainfall, especially during October and March, that caused large camps and staff villages to exceed the previous baseline. Yes, there's a lack of awareness among the guests and our staff. Therefore, we're continuing piloting awareness programs to make sure that we don't reach a water crisis. However, last week we saw rivers very low because of the water use in the upper streams, in the catchment areas. We have brought this thing to the attention of the minister so that water affairs can assist to make sure that really river flows are not very, very low. In terms of rehabilitating honorable members and chairperson, we do what we call initial clearing of the alien plants, and then we must do follow-ups. You can see why yellow there, because for initial clearing, we targeted 34,000 hectares, but we only achieved 28. One of the reasons the chair touched on it was the fires in the Garden Route, which destroyed most of the planned initial work. We had to pause there not to do anything. in the frontier region with the parks in the eastern part of the park, there was an area, a lack of accessibility to these areas because we introduced rhinos and elephants in the northern part of the park to attract tourism. Therefore, people couldn't access those are working on these areas. In terms of follow-ups, we did well there, although we had some challenges in the Cape, which is linked to the above issue. In terms of wetlands rehabilitation, we did well above the target for the year. Under the management plans, we need to review our management plans every 10 years in order for them to be aligned and we consult with stakeholders. We are red there because the management plan for Garden Route was delayed. We did the Mapungubwe one, but the Garden Route one was because of fires. Most stakeholders, most of our staff, during the UA reporting, they were busy fighting fires. We had disasters, therefore couldn't consult. Therefore, with that work, we are finalizing this year the management plan for the Garden Route National Park. In terms of rhino poaching, those two areas linked, honorable members, percentage and the numbers. We have seen good progress because year on year, we were targeting a 2% reduction in the killing of rhinos, but we saw 23.5%. We even gave numbers in brackets, 502, but down to 384. The question would be, what appetite do you allow for 500? We have learned in the last 5 years that we're losing thousands of rhinos. We had to say not more than a certain number. That was a threshold we set ourselves. The reason for that success, we are improving in terms of our ground mobility with rangers. We are also improving with our air mobility, with our helicopters. We are also investing in a lot of technology to monitor and being proactive. That's the reason for that. We are also working with SAPS and the Army in the area. In terms of other parks, because it is Kruger that is under siege in terms of this poaching, but other parks which are smaller in size, we do have rhinos. We were split in Torrent to say no rhinos should be killed. Yes, in the last 6 years, it was the case. But last year, we were so unfortunate to lose three rhinos in our other small parks. Two wild rhinos in Marakele, near Tabazimbi, that we lost. And then we lost one rhino in Mokala. This is why this area is red. Because when the park is smaller, you can control it. Unlike the size of Kruger, which is 2 million hectares, bordering other countries with 2 million people on the western boundary. It's not easy to control. But for other parks, we're ambitious to say no rhinos should be killed, but we lost three rhinos last year. Elephant poaching was also starting to haunt us. We did well. We turned the tide. That's why it's green. But the previous years, it was becoming a concern. In terms of our rhino planning overall, we have a plan. We have a strategy that was also approved by Cabinet. We are yellow there because not all the activities that are in the plan were able to implement 100%. That's why we are yellow there. The next one is on elephants. Again, it's a big animal. It does cause harm to the environment, especially if you look at that red there, Mapungubwe National Park was the most affected. There are elephants coming from Botswana and Zimbabwe. They cross the river. They come in numbers. They do destroy the vegetation. Therefore, we want to improve in this area in terms of cordoning off some areas to avoid the destruction. We want to come with the best practices. There was a percentage increase in the arrest of key species. Yes, we did well there in terms of the number of arrests, especially on rhinos and elephants, due to the efficiencies that we're putting in place. In terms of fines, we showed a major decrease of 75% compared to the previous year. In the past, we used to do control of traffic in Kruger. People do speed in Kruger. Therefore, we are no longer recording those fines because the Act is saying, sandbags, why are you doing this work? It's an area that we are working with the Department of Transport because we need to control traffic. People do get involved in accidents inside our national parks. Therefore, we are working in this area in order for us to be aligned. Under the wildlife utilization strategic plan, we had some challenges because it's a new area, especially with communities, emerging game farmers, but we are moving slowly because we were able to deliver a number of wild animals in the last year to the emerging game farmers and also to some communities. But it's an area of improvement because people, I'm talking about black people here, still they don't understand the sector. They are more inclined to deal with livestock. But we are saying, because of climate change, wildlife economy can change lives, can create jobs. In terms of heritage management, we did well there. It's one area that we are improving. We fly planes. We had to have a strategy so that they don't fall from the skies. We developed the plan, strategy. We engaged the board. The board did approve the strategy, but after the end of the year, I think they did around April, because we had to engage thoroughly on what model we need to look at in terms of keeping our planes flying, because it's a very, very expensive exercise. You need proper expertise to fly the planes. In terms of research, we're doing well because we want to focus our research on areas where we need decisions. Because in most cases with the environment, people, they become emotional environmental issues. But we're saying to the people, we can use the best available science. If we decide to cull elephants, we cannot be emotional about it. We need to say, are there too many? What impact are they causing? What science is informing us to do that? That's why our scientists, they register projects that are aligned to send back themes for better decision making. On the tourism, we were fortunate, honorable members. Although the economy turned down was a challenge for number of tourists, we introduced a differential pricing for Table Mountain National Park in November last year. We managed to achieve our targeted revenue, but numbers are down in terms of tourism, but the chair spoke in detail to that. I won't waste your time on it, but as you can see, that whole area of the economic activity is red. In terms of customer satisfaction index, we're doing well there. Although we're having aging infrastructure, people still appreciate visiting our parks, seeing the landscape, but we do get challenges in terms of maintaining our infrastructure. We are growing our product. We are diversifying our product. We managed to achieve 12 revenue generating products. The list is there, honorable board members, honorable members, that you can look at, because we have a mandate of growing the revenue. In terms of visitor management interpretation plans, we managed to implement them as agreed. Jobs created. This area is linked to alien clearing that we spoke about earlier, because there were delays in the planning, there were late appointments of monitors, the budget was reduced by the department because of changes. Therefore, we had to adjust our budgets. If I can move to another red around an integrated transformation strategy. We have realized that it is an untransformed sector. SANPARKS is affected by this. We have not yet opened up the organization to emerging entrepreneurs. People still think there's no business in SANPARKS. They think we're dealing about animals. Therefore, we had to start developing an integrated transformation strategy, looking to each and everything we're doing. Therefore, it's a complex process we're doing. That's why we're right there. But I think one day, honorable members, will come and present this consolidated strategy once it's been developed. On the legacy projects, where we provide science labs to schools to improve, to assist with the pass rate on maths and science, we were delayed, but we're happy to say this year we handed over about 80 science labs to different schools for maths and science. We are developing a beneficiation scheme for land claimants, especially in Kruger. That work is close to completion. We should be launching that beneficiation scheme, but we have some few challenges in terms of engaging the claimant community. In the interest of time, Chair, I will jump to another yellow, which is a human capital matter, male to female ratio in the organization. There's a slow staff turnover, honorable members. Therefore, we're underachieving here because people, they remain in the organization. In the interest of time, all the other greens I won't talk to. As chair of the board indicated that we have achieved 74% of our targets, 17 off target, and 9% is work in progress. Some of these issues will improve them as we move forward. I want to hand over, Honorable Chair, to the CFO to speak to the financial performance for the year reporting. He will look at the balance sheet. He will look at the income statement and also to look at the cash flow. I'll hand over to him, Chair, with your permission. Thank you.
Honorable Chair and honorable members, thank you so much for the opportunity to present today to Portfolio Committee. I will start by looking at the statement of financial position, looking at the balance sheet, which is the old term. Starting by current asset, you will notice from the financial statement that I presented on the presentation that our asset base has grown by 210 million in value to about 11.3%. While our non-current assets have grown from 2.9 billion to 3 billion, which is about 128.3 million. That's about 4.4%, which brings all the total assets of SANPARKS to 5.1 billion, which is on average a 7.1 increase. Our liabilities have actually decreased, and I will start by looking at current liabilities, which have decreased by 31.9 million, which is 2.1%. And I think this is a positive thing because when you're managing finances, you want to grow your assets and then decrease your liabilities because that provides about a healthy balance sheet. The non-current asset has followed a similar trend of really decreasing by 43.5%, which is about 4.5%, that's 43.5 million. Then that brings our total liability to 2.4 billion. Which is down by 75 million for the year. So the cost of our business, the net is 2.7 billion. You will see that the movement between the previous year to this year is about 414. That is a surplus. We are in the public sector, so we can't talk about profit. Then moving into income statement, our revenue from exchange transactions, so this is the tourism revenue, have grown by 13.1% percent, which is about 263 million. The government grant to the contrary of reducing, it has grown by 27% to 709. And let me explain this. The reason for such growth is that most of the EPWP grant, which we used to consider a special grant in the previous years, has now become part of our allocation for all the work that we are doing inside the park. And that's why it has increased our grant. So this is mainly the work that we are doing on EPWP. The KPIs and the work that we are doing, it's still the same. It's just that it has changed its accounting treatment. Then this brings the total revenue for SANPARK to just over 3 billion. And I must say, Chair, we are very pleased that for the first time as an organization, we have reached a 3 billion turnover, which really takes us to about a medium-sized organization that probably can even be listed at the stock exchange. So really, our revenue has grown by 16.2 if you're considering the two elements of tourism business as well as the two grants that the grant that I've mentioned. Moving to expenses within the income statement, our expenses have actually grown by 8.7% to about 206 million. There's two elements which I would like to highlight. One, which is the staff cost, which has only grown with a mere 3.8%. It's a good thing, honorable members, because you want your revenue to grow faster than your expenses. And I think this is the case with SANPARK, as you can see from this audited results. Now, our expenses, you will note that they're actually higher than all the other expenses, growing at 18.4%. And again, it's because of the statement that I've made earlier, because now we are accounting for EPWP expenses, which in the past, we used to account it as a special project which does not form part of the expenses of the organization. Now, if you now look at both the expenditure and revenue, it brings our surplus for the year to about 414 million. This is 105% growth from the previous financial year, and we are quite pleased to achieve such kind of results as an organization. Considering the economic challenges that we face as a country, especially with the visitors. I mean, if you look at the numbers that the CE has actually presented, we had set a target of growing our visitors by 3% to over 7 million, but actually we experienced the opposite, our visitors declining by 7.7%. So which means that the decline in visiting numbers is about 10% in real terms. And I'm going to move to the last part, Honorable Chair, which is the cash flow statement. Despite all these challenges, you will see that this is just not a paper profit that we are talking about, but the cash and cash equivalent as shown in our statement of cash flow, we have grown our cash resources from 1.7 billion to about 1.8 billion, which is about 3.7% growth in cash resources. Not only this confirms SANPARK as a going concern, but it also talks about our strong cash position, which I think any business would like to have. So we are presenting the financial statement of SANPARK for 2018 and 2019, and we'll continue work hard to even produce better results.